Good morning. How are you guys doing? Good morning to all you out there also in virtual land. It's great to be here together. I got to tell you, this morning, I thought worship was fantastic. Amen. Wasn't that good? And for those of you who are not here, I want to encourage you, if you would like to participate, make sure to get online and make a reservation for a Sunday, because we have room. And I just feel like this team is getting better and better. I feel like the tech team is phenomenal. I mean, we got people that are learning. Lisa's back there going, yeah, I'm getting it. So we got people on cameras that have never done this before, but we are getting this out, and I just want to thank all of you who are participating, and those of you who are here this morning especially, as well as all of you who are out there in virtual land, as you keep supporting what we're doing here. I loved hearing about what our missionaries are doing. I also love hearing that we are starting to get some traction again in some of the ministries that we have typically done, but maybe in a new way. And so the idea of participating and connecting with our local high school in order to get Thanksgiving food to families who need it, I mean, that's part of what this church has always been about. And we're starting to see some of that kind of come back online in this new environment we're in as well. Amen? Isn't that awesome? I was excited. I was excited to hear all of that. I hope you guys are as well. So make sure to, I mean, like Cheryl said, we can always use help. We can use help in all kinds of areas. So if you're starting to kind of get a little bit more comfortable with being invested and involved and kind of present in different places, make sure that you sign up for something, because we can really use your help there. It is exciting to be here. It's exciting to be kind of in this world at this time, because we know that God is doing something. Amen? All right, well, so as I was preparing for this message, and because of what this message is about, what I was thinking about this last week, and I want you guys to think about this morning, is what are some of the jobs that you've had in the past? And I was thinking back, you know, through my massive job history, you know, because it, like many of you probably, I've had a lot of different jobs, you know, over the years. I started when I was about probably 14 doing yard work and doing that. And then I kind of moved. Now, that's when I started, unless you take into account that lemonade stand that we did when I was about 7. But honestly, that was such a failure. It's probably why I didn't work. It's probably why I didn't work for another 7 years, right? Because it was such a bad experience. So anyway, 14, 16, I got into kind of your typical jobs where you're in, whether it's retail or restaurants and that type of thing. I also, when I was in college, I started getting into church ministry. I became a part-time youth and music minister, and things grew from there. But over these times, I have been a janitor at a preschool. I have been a trash collector. I have been a UPS delivery guy. I've been a substitute teacher. So I've had a lot of different kind of jobs out there that I have done. And one of the things that I've found, I mean, some of them have been easy. Some of the jobs have not been, it's been hard work. Some of them have been enjoyable, and some of them have really just been a check, right, to pay the bills. It's like, I'll put up with this a little bit longer because I need the money. Now, I know we've had that experience, but I want you to think back over your jobs that you've had. And the question I want us to think about this morning is this. What are the dynamics? What are those things that in a job make either a job enjoyable or make it a nightmare? What are those things for you? It may be something about the task itself. It may be something about the environment that you have to work with, or the details of that environment. It may be something about the people that you're working with. But what are the details that make a job either enjoyable to you or a nightmare to put up with? Okay, because over time, what I found as I was thinking through those things, I found that, you know, I can do hard work. That doesn't throw me off. I'll just kind of buckle down, you do it. I can work in a bad environment. Believe me, if you've ever thrown trash, That's not the nicest environment. It's dirty. It smells. You come home. I'd come home at times and Carrie would literally, she'd say, okay, you cannot straight to the back porch and then straight to the shower. And that's all I want to see of you until you're out of that shower. So, I can work in that environment. What I found was I can put up with a lot of things, but the one thing that gets me that takes a job that might otherwise be enjoyable and makes it really just a nightmare for me, have you ever been in a job where you are trying desperately to gain the approval or the appreciation or the notice of a supervisor who seems dead set on not paying attention to you and not ever giving you that approval? You ever had that job? That to me is, there is no way to win. There is no way to enjoy that job. There's no way to be in that place. I don't think anyone thrives in that kind of environment. In fact, those are the jobs that tend to be those kind of rotating, those revolving doors, right? Where people come in and out and you come in and you go, wow, I wonder why everybody's leaving so fast. And then you find out and you're like, oh, now I'm leaving too, right? Those are those type of places where we just can't thrive. And as human, those are the type of environments, the type of situations that they're painful to be in because we are wired for social interaction. We are wired for community. And when we work, we're still in that context of that relational kind of dynamic. And we are using that. We are looking for that feedback. We are looking for that appreciation, that acknowledgement of approval that what we are contributing is worthwhile. And when it doesn't come, or have you ever gotten this one? It's not really a negative. It's not like you're a jerk and you're not doing anything right. It may not be that bad, but it's just that kind of, we could take or leave whatever you're bringing. That's painful. That's painful to hear. It's hard to take in. When we don't receive that kind of positive feedback, it can take an otherwise what could be an enjoyable job, something we got there because we thought maybe I'll like this, and it can just make it horrible. I want us to take that kind of that framework, right? That thought, that line of thinking, and I want us to overlay that then in thinking about our spiritual lives as well. Our spiritual relationships, specifically our relationship with God. Because in Ephesians 2:10, the verse that was read at the beginning, it says that God also has work for us to do, right? It says we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should do them, that we should walk in them. So God has work for us to do. But what I found over the course of my life and over the course of ministry, I found I'm not making this up. This is not a theory that it might be out there. I've had people talk to me that this is where their hearts are, that many of us feel like we can never possibly impress or gain God's attention. We work and we work and we try and do all these good things. We try and do the good works that God has in front of us, and we feel like, yeah, but he doesn't. We never gain that approval. We never gain that word of well done, right? And so people, we work, we think of these good works. Oftentimes we think of things like, well, I try and keep the Ten Commandments, or I try and see people in need and help them. I try and be kind to others. We say, no matter how much I do that, no matter how hard I work, I still don't seem to sense God's approval in my life. In fact, according to the Bible and according to the theology, and listen, these are verses that I learned early on, and this is a theology that I've had, I had running around in my head for a long time. But we have this theology that we built up that we will never impress God with anything that we do. We will never gain his approval because of what we have done. For example, there's Isaiah 64:6. It says, all of us have become like one who is unclean. When it's talking about that in the Old Testament, you're talking about like a leper who had to literally yell down the road before they walked down the road, unclean leper coming through so everybody could get out of the way, right? We become like that. All of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. And if you know the background of what the filthy rags are talking about, you know that these are like the clothes I was wearing when I was a garbage collector. My wife is like, just take them out back, we'll burn them later, right? And it says all of our righteous deeds have become like that. So we have it in our heads, okay, so this is the best I'm gonna be able to do. Romans 3, 10 through 12, it says, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they become useless. There is no one who does good. Not even one. So we take this and we go, that's the best I got to offer. And even after we receive Jesus, right, as our Savior, we're like, I'm sure I'm going to go to heaven, right? And somehow he saved me, and we're forgiven, and we're made right with God. We still have this feeling that we're not measuring up to God, not measuring up to his expectations, these expectations that we just know that he has about what we should be doing and how we're blowing it. And I have talked to enough people, whether that's here, whether that's in Colorado, whether that's in North Carolina or in Kansas or in high school or in college or in 80 years old or midlife, or it doesn't matter. I've talked to enough people to know that this is not just a theory. I'm not making this up. People really have this sense that in the hearts and minds that God doesn't approve of them no matter what they do. And that they work hard, and in the end, they just give up on the whole thing. Give up on the work. They give up on God. They say, you know what? I'm just going to do what I do and hope it works out in the end. And that, honestly, is the faith that a lot of people hold to. I'm just going to do what I do and hope it works out in the end. We're in a series where we're talking about the practices that we can put in place to better align us with the work that God is doing in us to make us like Jesus. And we have been in a part of that series the last couple of weeks where we've been talking specifically about these works that Ephesians 2 is talking about, the good works that God has prepared beforehand so that we should do them. So 2 weeks ago, we looked and we said, yeah, there's work to be done. Amen to that? Everybody look at your life and go, yeah, there's still work to be done. I'm not like Jesus yet. Well, then last week we looked and we said, you know what we're finding though is that we can't get it done. We don't have the strength. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the insight. We don't have the ability to even discern what that work is or how we should get at it or what we're aiming for. We don't have that without the Holy Spirit who lives within us to lean on him, to let him lead and to show us and to lead us and to do that work within us and then in us and through us. But this week, today, we're going to be talking about the fact that even if all that's in place, right, we understand that we need the Holy Spirit, we need God himself working in and through us, even if we know that, even if we know that there's work to be done, that there's still this area, there's still this thing that a lot of what we experience in our relationship with God has nothing to do with those things. What it has everything to do with our experience of that relationship with God in that kind of framework of work is this. Is that one, it has to do with the motivation that is in our hearts towards that work. And two, it's in our perception that is in our minds about what our relationship with God is to begin with. Okay? That's what we want to look at. Because even though we may know there's work to be done and we know the Holy Spirit needs to do it, our perception of that work, our experience of that is going to have more to do with what is the motivation that we have for doing those works in the first place that is largely dependent on what is our perception of what our relationship with God is to begin with. Okay? So I want to look at those things, and I want you to think about this. Have you ever met someone that to everybody else around them, it was obvious, it was just obvious that God was working through them? They were the most loving, kind, gentle, gracious person. They always had a word of encouragement. They were just by passing through, people would just go, oh, wow, I just feel like Jesus has been here, right? But if you would, so everybody around them knew it, but if you would ask them, they would say, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'm doing very well at all, right? I don't think God notices me at all. Half the time I think that he's probably just disgusted with me because I'm blowing, right? Have you ever met somebody like that? And it's so obvious to everybody else, but so not obvious to them that God is working in them and through them and how present he is. And you go, how is that possible? And they're carrying around this huge burden on their back. I remember, you know, when I first got into ministry and we were in this little town of Kansas, and there were a lot of these very elderly, godly people. And how many of them you would talk to and they said, yeah, I'm not even sure I'm going to make it into heaven. And everybody around them is going, what are you talking about? You're the one that led me to Christ. You're the one that keeps me on track. And they're going, yeah, but I just. And you're saying, how can you have that big of a gap between your perception and the experience that everyone else sees and knows? How can there be that? And the thing is about this is that this is, you know, we may have this sense that. And they have this sense that, you know, and not only do I feel this way, but, you know, I feel this way because I feel like God's not telling me he approves, and he's God, so he knows, so I must be worthless. And the truth is that feeling is a lot closer to many of our hearts, a lot more close than we'd like to admit, that we're not sure at times that God, sometimes, that we're not sure he loves us. We're not sure he approves of us. You know, in the Old Testament, one of the things that it said, and one of the things that Jesus said when he came, you know, to this world, he said, the gospel that I'm bringing is going to do several things, but one of the things was this. It was going to break the chains of those who are held in bondage. It's going to set the captives free. It's going to free the prisoners. I believe that many people are held in bondage by the chains of the sense of unworthiness before God. And it is a false sense of unworthiness. And I want us to be set free from those chains today, because there's no reason for us to sit in that place when it comes to this idea of what does it mean to walk in the works that God has prepared beforehand. This is the freedom that the gospel of Jesus offers. I want you to hear this. There is a work that Jesus did that is so far beyond anything we could have done for ourselves. We will never be able to touch that. Okay? We couldn't have done it. We could have never made ourselves right with God. But Jesus did that work. It says in Isaiah that God saw that there was a separation and it did not sit right with him. So he brought salvation by his own power because he saw we could never do that piece of the work. That is not what we're supposed to accomplish for ourselves. That has been done. Amen? And what that means is that any work that we do is not in order to gain God's approval, but instead should come out of the fact that we already have God's approval because Jesus has gained it for us. So all these works that it's talking about in Ephesians 2:10, it says these good works that God's you know, prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them and do them. They're not in order to gain God's approval or to gain his attention or to gain his love. It comes out of the fact that we already have that. And so God has these works that he has us do that are for a completely different reason than we may have thought about them. That's what I mean. The perception of what we're even trying to accomplish there has to change. I shouldn't be motivated by trying to gain God's approval. I should be motivated because now I can do these works and I can grow to be more like Jesus. I already have God's approval. Now I can grow to be more like Jesus by doing these things that God calls me into doing. The perception I have is not that I'm cut off from God and I somehow have to make up that gap. Jesus did that. It's that I'm inseparably bound to God by his love for me. In Romans, it says, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing in heaven or on earth, and principalities and powers or death or life, nothing. And so I'm not working to try and get to God's love like there's a separate, I'm in it. So now I can just grow in it. That's a change. If I belong to God through a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship that honestly, it comes through simply accepting the gift that's based on the work that he did. God just says, here, do you want it? And you say, yes, I do. Done. If that's where I stand, and I want to tell you, the details of what Jesus did on the cross, we may never understand that. We may never understand the work that he did. It's too deep, it's too wide, it's too much. We may never understand it, but he still hands it to us. And we are made right with God. So if we have that gift, if we are his, then we are approved. And that changes everything. Now, what do I mean that changes everything? Well, I want you to think about three things that happen when we are doing works, three things that change when we know that doing these works out of approval, not to gain approval, okay? So when we do good, not to gain God's approval, but because we already have it, we're already in his love, we can actually enjoy the work. If you've ever been in that job where you're trying to get that supervisor to approve of you and it never does, you know where your attention is? It's never on the work. It's always on the dread that you're going to get done and you're still going to be rejected, right? It's on that dread that you're going to get done and there's going to be no approval, there's going to be no recognition, there's going to be no good job, you've contributed to what we're trying to do here, there's going to be no sense of being brought into that community. Your dread overshadows the enjoyment of the work. If we are working from God's approval, we can actually enjoy the work. If you are, let's say, for example, that you're saying, you know, and it could be anything, but let's say I'm going to try, you know, I have trouble lying in situations where I feel backed in a corner, so I'm going to try telling the truth, right? I'm going to try doing that instead of covering myself, you know, by lying. I'm going to try, and you're not doing it because you're like, I'm trying to impress God. You're doing it because you're saying, you know what, this is who I am now. So I'm gonna do that. I'm going to let God cover kind of the details of this. Well, you actually get to enjoy what it feels like to live in that place of integrity and truth rather than that place of deceit. And you know what I'm talking about, right? In that place of deceit, you're always worried that somebody's going to find out, that then you're going to be rejected because you've been deceitful. You're always worried, you have that guilt that you lied to these people anyway. You have all this like weight of just junk hanging around your neck. Well, now you get to enjoy just being free because you've told the truth. Now, you don't know what's going to come of it, right? Sometimes you tell the truth and people don't want to hear it. And they're like, ah! But you get to experience what it was like for Jesus and to be more like Jesus. And you tell the truth even when people don't like it. Go, oh, okay. That's the life I'm called into. Now, if you're trying to earn points with God, you'll tell the truth and you still don't enjoy the truth because you're looking to God to say, I hope he receives me now. I hope he approves of me. I hope he loves me now. So we actually get to enjoy the work. Second, when we do good, not to gain his approval, but because we already know that we're approved, we already know that he loves us, we can begin to discover God's kind of his purpose and his calling on our lives, right? We begin to discover maybe some of those things we can begin to discover maybe those patterns that God raises up in our lives, right? So maybe we start to see that God regularly puts us in these situations where we're challenged in our generosity. You say, well, I'm going to walk into that generosity. If we're using generosity to try and earn God's approval, we're not going to notice this. But when we, in fact, we're going to get mad at God. Because it's like, well, I tried to be generous last time, but I obviously blew it. That's why I'm here again. And now I'm here again, and I didn't give enough, and you got me back again. Instead of saying, you know what, I'm approved by God, I'm loved by God, God keeps putting me in these places of generosity. Maybe it's because he's calling me into a life of generosity as a ministry, as a pattern, as who he has called me to be and how he wants me to uniquely reflect Jesus in this world. So it's not a guilt thing now. Now it's an opportunity thing. In fact, it's a pattern. And I really love this. I find when God calls me in there, he's actually prepared me for it. So I'm ready for it, and I can enjoy it, and I can grow in this ministry, this gifting, this calling that he's opened up in front of me. Right? Now, if we're trying to impress God, we're going to miss that. Third is this. When we do good not to gain God's approval, but knowing that we already have it, knowing that we're already loved by God, we can actually take pride in our growth, right? We don't have to be perfect. We can take pride in our growth and our accomplishments in becoming more like Jesus. We can rejoice with God that we're actually becoming more like Jesus. We're not looking at how far we've missed it by. Not anymore. He's already taken care of that big, you know, that work that we couldn't do to make us right with God. Now we're just, okay, now let's work on the details of becoming more like Jesus. We can look at it and we say, you know what, I don't have to be perfect. Sure, I might not have hit that one out of the park. Sure, maybe I stumbled on that one or I tripped and I fell. There was a saying that was going around when I was in college. They said, you know, you learn to walk by falling. What they meant is, you know, if you're going to try and walk, you're going to be falling, right? But somebody turned around, they said, no, you learn to walk by walking. Falling just comes along the way, right? But if you don't get up and try again, and unless you're convinced that God already is approving of you, if you fall down, you're going to go, I might as well just stay down because I'm going to fall down again. And you're going to never learn how to walk in those works and in that life that God has called you to. But we can actually enjoy the accomplishments, enjoy the progress, and celebrate it because we know that God approves of us. God already loves us, and he is just watching us like a child grow to be more like his son. Amen? Those things will never happen if we're trying to impress God, if we have that motivation that we're trying to make up a gap somehow. That will never happen unless we fully understand that Jesus did that work. And now his Holy Spirit is doing that work in us through Christ and based on what Christ has bought us and brought us to make us more like him. Amen? So what is that practice we can put into place? It's this. I would call it doing the work of rest rather than doing the work of striving. It's going to come in three steps. Doing the work of rest rather than doing the work of striving. Doing the work of rest, and that's not taking more naps. However, some of you guys need more naps, right? Some of you guys are really tired. So do that work of rest too, but this is the rest that Christ has brought us by the work that he did. He brought us into a rest of God, right? Just the Sabbath rest. There's no more striving necessary. So do the work of rest. And what is that? First is this. Whenever you do something that is a good work, a good before God, good or right before God, you need to ask yourself this question. Am I doing this to impress God? To gain his approval somehow, even a little bit? Or am I doing this because I know that I'm already approved and I know that I already have his love? Am I speaking this truth because somehow I think it's going to give me brownie points with God? And somehow I'll finally get his attention and he'll love me? Or am I doing this because I already know that I'm loved and I have the opportunity to grow to be more like Christ in this situation? Because it makes it a whole different picture in front of you. Am I trying to care for this person that's in front of me? Am I giving them something that they need so that God and others will see me as maybe worthy of his affection? Worthy of a title like godly or oh, what a great Christian. Is that why I'm doing that? Or is it because I'm already those things because of Christ and I'm just learning how to do it better? I'm just learning how to grow into that nature that Jesus has already placed in me through his Spirit. Amen? So ask yourself the question, check your motives. What is my motive for doing this? Is it to impress God or to, based on God's approval, I'm just growing in him? Second is this, when you know that your motives are right, then in that kind of framework, then ask yourself, okay, so how can I grow? Or watch for how you are growing through this situation. What am I learning that's making me more like Christ in this situation? What am I growing in? Am I learning the satisfaction of like living in integrity? Am I learning that? Am I learning the joy? Because again, some people give. If you're trying to earn God's approval by giving to others, by taking care of others, you're not enjoying the gift, right? You're not enjoying giving to others. So what am I learning here? What am I learning? If I help this person, am I learning the joy and the satisfaction of generosity? Am I learning how to trust God that I can give and he'll still back me up and he'll still be there? Third is this. Look for places where you sense that pattern. Where you sense that God keeps bringing you into this situation again and again and again. And don't take it that he's like, you messed up again. You're going to try to. It's not about that. If God brings us back, it's because he is establishing a pattern in us or he is revealing a pattern in us. So look for those patterns, those good works that God keeps bringing you back to. Because he may be bringing you into a ministry of compassion, a ministry of generosity, a ministry of teaching. You say, hey, I said a few words and people are like, wow, that just changed my life. Well, that may be a ministry God wants to bring you into. Especially if he brings you back to those situations over and over and you keep getting that kind of feedback. That the ministry of leadership, that ministry of volunteering, of sacrificing, of serving. Okay, look for those places that God keeps bringing you back. So those three things, really. Check your motivations. The second is make sure that, look for that thing and say, the motivation is right, so what is God teaching me? And the third is just look for the patterns of what he's teaching you to see if he is not really showing you, revealing a calling, that unique way that you will reveal Jesus Christ to this world. The final thing I want to tell you, it kind of covers all of this. Do not gauge the reality of God's approval or his love on your feelings. Don't base it on your feelings. Don't gauge it by your feelings, right? Because there are many times that we, for whatever reason, we may not feel the acceptance or the approval of God. And in those moments, we have to, that's when faith becomes important. Because it does not matter first what I feel, it matters first what God has actually done. It doesn't matter if I feel like Christ's gift was sufficient. It matters whether it was. Amen? So don't base it on your feeling. Nothing you can do can add to this gift or take away from it. God does not want you to impress him. God simply wants you and me to grow in the grace of Christ and to grow to be more like Jesus. Amen? Let's pray.